Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, Rashida.
And how are you today?
I'm good. I'm still wearing my pajamas.
I mean, that's fine. It's only 11 o'clock where you are.
Yeah. I have some cute jammies too, so I don't mind wearing them, and I don't know, feeling cozy. We have been going just like balls to the wall right now, like all day, every day has been packed. And I don't mean packed like, oh my God, we're so busy, but it's just like lots of time outside, lots of time socializing, lots of times doing simple things that are really fulfilling actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like every day by the end of the day, we're like, woof. So today we're getting ready to go on vacation and kind of sticking around the house to do things that we need to do around here. So hence the jammies. Gemma's naked. Not that that's,
anything new.
No, but it's kind of nice just to hang home because summertime hits and we just want to be outside. Just want to be enjoying. Yeah.
Yes. That's kind of our jam too. Mondays are our like recuperation days where we don't typically go anywhere. And then, you know, Tuesdays are like I'm going to get my little like work stuff done. And then Wednesday through like Sunday, we're gone. We're just doing things. We have season passes to the amusement park here. Took Miles for the first time. Oh boy, Lauren. He's not even two yet and he is all about an amusement park.
Aw.
It's so cute. It's amazing. And yeah, we do our library stuff and we're outside in the mornings and the afternoons. I definitely try to like break our day up. So like first thing in the morning, not first thing because I'm not really a morning person, but mid-morning we're like outside hanging out. The kids are playing in the sand and then the second half of the day we're outside. That's either when we're going somewhere or we're just kind of hanging out in the yard. And it just feels really good to just be outside most of the day. And I think it just makes me have so much more appreciation for the roof over my head, you know, the place that I can come back to and I can just spend time and just relax and I'm protected from the elements and, where my family can rest and recuperate. So yeah, it just fills me up with so much love when I think about it that way.
Well, speaking of love, we're going to be talking about the heart chakra today, and we have this series going on of episodes, and you can go back and listen to the previous three. But we're talking about being in a funk, so that might mean feeling off, that might mean feeling a little depressed, unaligned, I guess we can say.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone through each chakra so far from the root up, and today we're at the heart, talking about ways that we can bring some balance and energy into these centers so that we can feel more aligned. So I definitely recommend if you're in a pretty tough place to go back and listen to the first episode on the root, because that is all about like the basics, like, okay, you need to feed yourself, you need to drink water, you need to move your body, like, you know, the reminders that sometimes we need when it's especially hard to do those basic self-care things. And then as the chakras go, we kind of get lighter and lighter as we go up. And as I was brainstorming things for today's episode, I realized that there are just so many ways to tap into the heart to feel better. But sometimes I think it is hard to get there when things are particularly tough. So going lower is going to be really helpful. But I'd say like, don't stop the episode and go back, listen to today's too, because you still might get something out of it. Even if you're not in a funk right now, these are still just great things to do in general to keep yourself aligned. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say. I know I have a few things to share. Some of them are really, really simple. But yeah, and I'll also share, I think I said this earlier this year, but I've been kind of a little bit in a funk this year, and I do truly feel like I'm starting to move out of it right now. So talking about this topic today and these strategies really feel good for me, and they feel like where I'm at right now. So I've kind of worked my way from the bottom up as well, and it's taken time. I'll also say, if you're in a really bad place, like, please go seek help. You know, we're here to offer some spiritual guidance and some like folky wisdom, but of course there are professionals out there who can also help in a big way. And I definitely love therapy for when I am seeking to feel better and I'm having and can't DIY it, you know?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think that's such a huge thing that no one really talks about. Sometimes, you know, in our world, we know a lot of coaches, we're coaches ourselves, but as knowledgeable as we are, like, it doesn't beat having that professional therapist to, like, yeah, really help you move through things. So, Lauren, absolutely, why don't we start with you, and we'll come back to me.
Yeah. The first one I'll share is hugs. So when we think about this area of the heart, and different, I guess when it comes to the areas of the body that it corresponds with, we think about the actual heart, we think about the chest, the lungs, and also the arms and the hands. So hugs, you're really connecting heart to heart with somebody else. And sometimes hugs can say so much more than words can. And I like to, you know, give my daughter long hugs, but especially if I know, like, my husband's had a hard day, or I'm having a hard day, or maybe even we're having a hard time, like, really communicating well, I'll make sure that we get just a nice long hug in, because there's just something, there's like an understanding underneath it and an energetic exchange that maybe can't be done through words.
Yeah. What I really like about this is it reminds me of, so in my household, like, we loved each other, right? But we weren't really, like, affectionate. We weren't really, like, we didn't say, I love you, or we didn't, I mean, like, my mom would say it occasionally, but it wasn't, like, a thing that we did. So in my adult life, when I started, like, giving and or getting hugs, it felt awkward at first. Mm-hmm. But it was only because of what my mind thought, like, a hug should be, or, like, how long is too long type of situation. And now, like, nowadays, like, I lean into hugs. Like, I literally feel this, like, emotional release sometimes when I am physically being held. I'm physically, like, tapping into someone else's heart space as well, knowing that I too am loved. So I love this so much, Lauren, because this really is, like, something so simple that we don't think about that can really drop us back into our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up with an affectionate family, but I've always been a little less, like, touchy.
Okay.
Although I'm being touched constantly now.
No more for you.
Yeah. And so I'll add that it's really nice to say, can I give you a hug, to somebody, because then you get consent, which is nice. And I say this because, you know, I've definitely been in some circles before with people who are really affectionate and open, and I'll say, like, hippies, and you know, the long hippie hug.
Yes, where it does truly become, like, really awkward. Like, it's like, I mean, we're over 60 seconds in this thing,
really. I know.
But if you try to pull away, have you ever tried to pull away,
yeah,
before?
And you're not,
you feel like,
it's like the pat on the back. So that can be a little weird. If it's two people who are into that, absolutely go for it. But I'd say, like, just be mindful, you know, of who you're hugging and how long it's taking. And the situation, you know, I had a student who was having a hard time with something and stayed after class this past weekend. And I know that they live alone. And I asked them if I could give them a hug. Hold on, Gemma. I asked them if I could give them a hug. And they said yes, and it was a long one because they kind of needed to just be held for a little while. But I definitely wanted to ask for consent and like not overstep my boundaries. So I don't know. I felt the need to go into that much detail about a hug, but I've just seen it get weird before.
No, like I, who's talking about a hug? No one's talking about a hug. We don't talk about hugs unless we're like talking about our toddlers hugging each other, but there is an art to a hug when you're an adult, right? Like you have to like just find that balance. And I think the difference is, Lauren, I know we're both being like, with a hug, we're both being like held, but I think there's a difference because you were giving your student a hug, but you were also really like holding them.
Yeah.
To show that support and that groundedness. So I think there is a difference in the type of hugs we give and what is needed in certain situations and scenarios. But this is such a great one. Like it works every time, like a charm for my kids. Like, do you need a hug? And they're not even hurt at that point, but they're just like, I just need that assurance. I just need you to hold me 1 second.
Okay. What about you?
Yeah. So for me, I found that sometimes working with the senses can kind of help, and really like essential oils. You kind of want to play with them, but obviously things like the rose oil, jasmine, lavender, bergamot, these oils kind of like help bring us into balance with our heart space. And if you were into essential oils and you kind of like work with them, like you'll know that these are really meant to help with this particular space. And it kind of like takes your mind off of maybe what's going on, and it brings your body into this like feeling of presence in a way when you're really focused on this scent, you're really focused on this smell. What does the smell mean to you? What is it bringing up? And like jasmine for me is just one of those ultimate like smell good fragrances. I just have just like this deep compassion feeling, not only for myself, but just for nature that comes over me when I smell this particular scent. And it can honestly be any scent, honestly, like depending on how you feel with certain things, because I know with our scents, our brains get triggered to maybe certain memories. And so if there's like an especially amazing memory, where you just felt so loved that day or that moment, like go back to that. Get that feeling and really like be into that moment. And I think that is a really great practice to help you kind of like align or balance your heart chakra space.
I love that. I didn't even think about that. For me, well, I love rose oil and I love jasmine too, but geranium's like my favorite heart scent.
Yeah, for sure. There's something about geranium.
Yeah, it's like bright and joyful.
Yeah.
And rose is a little more
like sultry, like romantic. Yeah.
Same with jasmine.
Sensual. Yes.
But geranium is just like a real happy scent to me, kind of bright and citrusy. So, I love that. And also, just extended from that, like flowers can be such a wonderful thing. Like, buy yourself some flowers or go on a walk and spend time with some flowers or give some to somebody else. There's just something about them that's so beautiful and so heart connected.
It really is. I don't know. I think we get reminded, like, especially with flowers, and in a way, like some flowers are very fleeting, but like when they pop, they're just so gorgeous and so beautiful. Like it's almost hard for your heart not to just open wide at that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're really taking that in, when you're really taking like the fact in that this plant, this bloom, this blossom is only here for a short moment and I get to like experience this, you know, I get to enjoy this and really just, and I'm noticing like a lot of the things that we're talking about is leading us back to presence. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love flowers. And even like, you don't have to spend like $20-$25 on a bouquet at a grocery store or a florist. Like you can go out in your yard. Like my grandmother picked a bunch of people would call weeds, that have so many great properties, but oxeye daisies and dandelions and red clovers and all these different things that we cut down every day in our yard are amazing. And they're just as beautiful as the vibrant, bright rose and the lilies. But they have a different feel to them. And I would say maybe, Lauren, a great practice with this is, you know, get that bouquet and see how you feel. Maybe journal on that, what's coming up for you. And then go in your yard or go in your property or, you know, no one cares if like you're in a public space and you're picking flowers either. They get cut down anyway. But, you know, pick those up and see how that energy makes you feel and really mm-hmm. tap into that. I think that would be a great, I'm going to write that down. That would be a great practice. Great practice to do. Because when I was, because I stare at my grandmother's bouquet, she had one for Mother's Day and then she had the one where she picked. And it was just like a different energy. It was mm-hmm. both beautiful, but just completely different energy.
Yeah, we have so many, yeah, weeds, we'll say, growing right now around like beautiful little white flowers and purple and yellow. And Gemma loves to stop and pick them and smell them. And it's always a good reminder to like, just yeah, stop and admire the beauty around you. And beauty yeah. is very much associated with the heart. So I'll go into next. So when I think about maybe a funk in this area, I think about loneliness. And a lot mm-hmm. of people feel really lonely, even if they're around people all the time. So time with animals is really great for this area. You know, not like a random wild animal, but animals that you love. So spending time with your dog or your cat and really showing them appreciation. And that might mean wild animals too. I was just kind of making a joke, like don't go pet a mountain lion or something like that.
But bear.
Yeah. Gemma's always like, I'll be like, oh, look, ducks. Oh, can I touch it? I'm like, no, we don't touch wild animals. Although she was touching a turtle yesterday. But yeah, you were touching a turtle. But I've talked about this on the pod before. I have a clear bird feeder up on my window. So being able to look at birds as they come by and eat. We love going on rides in our neighborhood, like at dusk and there's deer. There's something just really calming and connecting about that.
No, I agree. It also gets you to, especially with wild animals, it kind of gets you to like just to stop in that moment and just observe. Mm-hmm. Like it takes you, it kind of like takes you out of your space, your maybe thoughts or what's going on in your brain. Cause I know here we see a lot of wild animals and I mean a lot, I mean, just like we have wild turkeys and we have deer and sometimes we can catch a fox, which is not too good for my chickens. But we have hawks that are around here, even buzzards and ravens, and I have blue jays and cardinals. I mean, we have so many different things, bunnies that I don't know what they're eating in our front yard, but they're chowing down on stuff. We see them every day. But sometimes it's fleeting, right? They don't like being out in the open and being witnessed in a way. And I think really like taking a moment to just like stop and be and see and observe, that is a way to connect, like you said, again, with the heart space.
Yeah. Animals. This is a kind of a little change in directions, but also when it comes to loneliness, I think, like reaching out, obviously, mm-hmm. it's hard to reach out to people sometimes when we're in a funk, but reaching out and just letting someone know how grateful you are for them can do wonders.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you'll get the love back too, which is nice. But I think sometimes we put it on others to be the one to reach out, or we feel like somebody owes us to reach out. But if you feel like connecting, like just do it. There's no scorecard.
Yeah. I mean, there shouldn't be.
No.
There shouldn't be. Yeah, I really like the reaching out. There have been times where I have received, and it's almost like, man, in the best moments possible that I would just receive a text from someone. And I'm like, did they know I was feeling a little off? Like these words meant so much to me. Like my cousin will do that occasionally. And it's just a simple, like, you know, I've been thinking about you and I just want you to know I love you and I miss you. And seeing those things just randomly pop up is such a heart opener for me to know that I'm being thought of, I'm being missed, and someone is thinking about me. Again, that loneliness part as well. Because I think sometimes if you're close to someone, you kind of know, you know, if they may be going through something, but you don't want to pry, you don't want to be in someone's business, so to speak, but just letting them know that you're there, I think is a really great practice. And even too, if you're in a space of loneliness, not so much reaching out to someone to let them know what's going on with you, but also if you happen to think of that person, just starting that, just like little drop, and just say, hey, you know, I don't know why, but I just wanted to say hi. And maybe
just
that
thinking just, about you.
Just thinking about you, that just might be, you know, something that's needed to like really jumpstart you getting out of this space of loneliness and just being down. And, you know, every season has something that, you know, we all might be that might remind you of something, right? I know in January, I'm really reminded by my father's passing. I'm really reminded of that. I'm indoors most of the time. The sun's not really shining and the days aren't really long, and it's nothing that can be fixed, you know, but just having someone reach out to me, or me just reach out to a family member, just kind of helps feel less alone and just more open. So I like this one, Lauren.
Yeah. Do you have any more?
I do. I have more. For me, I like the thought of acts of kindness. And not just a thought, but the actual act. I've done this multiple times where I will nowadays with two kids and things are a little bit more pricey. I can't go balls to the wall like I used to, but, I like to like pay for things for people. You know, if someone's in line at the Qdoba and they're getting something, I will say, hey, I want to go ahead and pay for those people too. They're getting an X, Y, and Z. Cause you know, I was a little nosy and listened to what their order was. So I like doing that. And then also too, I like just complimenting people. And I don't know, when I receive like, oh, hey, I really like your dress today. And I'm like, she doesn't see the hole on the side. So that's great. It looks great. Right. But it really makes me feel good about myself. You know, if someone compliments my hair, and it doesn't always have to be physical features. You can just like be in a room with someone and there's just something about them. You can even say that, hey, I don't know what it is about you, but I really love your energy. You're really vibrant today, whatever the case may be. Acts of kindness through an act or through speech. I don't know, just doing something for somebody, it really makes you feel good. And you don't have to overcomplicate it. You don't have to do it for, like, for me, sometimes I get really upset when we see a bunch of these, like, people doing these quote unquote acts of kindness for likes or videos. I don't think it's coming from the heart space. So when you do decide to do something, you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to share about it. You don't have to, you know, like tell everyone this is what you've been doing for whomever. It's more coming from not only your heart space, and it's helping to activate someone else's to know that they're seen, someone cares about them, someone wanted them to have a good day. It's like twofold, this particular practice.
Yeah, that was one of mine too, which was acts of service and just getting out of your own ego for a little while and taking the focus outward can be super helpful. I read a long time ago, The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. And it was like,
yes.
I read a chapter of every day for a long time. And one of them is giving. One of the rules or laws of success is giving. And he talks about that, like give a compliment, give a flower, give a blessing. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. But start to like pour outward a little bit, and it's very rewarding. Don't do it because it's rewarding, but just do it just because.
The blessing one was the one that really stuck with me, and I found myself blessing a lot of people.
Yeah.
And just, you know, hoping and wishing and all these things. And I don't know, when you get in the habit of that, like you can literally feel your heart space just swelling. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like so beautiful.
Yeah. It's nice to think about what it's like to be on the recipient end of that, of like how it can really change your whole day when someone says one kind thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think of like the heart attached to the hands too. So service for others as a way to use your hands, you know, even if it's something you're already doing. Like in that period of time where I was reading that book, I was a barista. So you know, it made me more mindful of like the drink I was making. And I'm like, I'm making this for someone else. And it's because they want to add some pleasure to their day. And like, I might as well be like conscious of that and putting good energy into it. So you don't even really have to change what you're doing. It's more just the approach.
I love that so much. I don't know if we talked about this before, but I mean, and you can probably share like heart healthy foods, which is, or heart opening foods too, is, which is one of the things as well. But when you think about service, I feel like sometimes you can tangibly tell if someone cares enough about what they're doing, because our energetic signature is super powerful. If you go to like a, not saying that a fast food restaurant isn't, if you know, if you like to eat there, it's not good. But I know sometimes like the food might not feel as good in your body. Depending on the fast food restaurant, let's talk about like a Chick-fil-A. I know when I've gone to Chick-fil-A, I don't know, it's just something about Chick-fil-A. It's something about their energy. The people genuinely seem like they want to be there. They genuinely seem like they're having a good time. Even when you sit down to eat at a restaurant, I've had two instances where I've gone to a restaurant with my husband and we had a really great experience with one, with the food, and not so great with the other. And I really think it boils down to like intention and what you're doing. So if you are in a place of service for others, you know, really being mindful and thoughtful of what you're doing. I know all the time when I'm giving a client a massage, I ensure that I am focused on my client and what they're doing and how their body is responding. And I physically see, or I'm physically pouring love and positive energy into them as I am working through their muscles, as I am working on different parts of their body. Sometimes I'll just sit and just lay hands and I feel this energy, or I'm imagining this energy coming from my heart space through my hands onto them to, you know, give healing and support and love. And I don't know, when you think about energetics and different things like that, it is happening. So being super intentional about the services that we're providing and not just kind of getting caught with going through the motions of doing it, you know, really, I feel like helps in a really big way.
Well, I feel like I could go on with this subject, but I was trying to keep it short today, so I'll wrap it up with one more for me, which is tuning into the breath, whether it's through pranayama or formal breath work or just like a big sigh or a deep breath. It's a really good way to recenter, recalibrate, slow down. And the lungs are associated with the heart. So really just big deep breath, letting your belly and ribs and chest expand as you inhale, letting it all out as you exhale, can make such a difference in the day. And it's absolutely free. All you have to do is be conscious of it. And it's just one of those, it's one of those things, you know, I feel like part of what we're talking about today is just not taking things for granted, you know? And it's easy to take the breath for granted. It is our constant companion through life, as well as the beat of our heart. And yet it provides, you know, life, and it provides this like symbiotic relationship with the environment around us. We are creating carbon dioxide for the plants and they're creating oxygen for us. And it happens that way our entire life. It's a beautiful thing to think about. It's, you know, we're not just taking in air, we're taking in like the environment around us. We share our air with everybody. It's free. You can't contain it necessarily. I mean, you could put air in a container, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, obviously we share air. There wouldn't be things like pandemics and flus and things like that going on. But you know, it's kind of one of those things where you sit back and think about it. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And it's amazing that by controlling my breath, I can control my energy. And that's what pranayama is.
Yeah. I love that. My last one, and you'll probably jump on this too, because you'll probably know which one it is. I was thinking of affirmations and mantras as just like a simple practice you can do in the morning if you're really trying to connect in with your breath as well. You know, I am open to receiving and giving love. You know, I am compassionate and kind. My heart is balanced and aligned. And then you also have your mantra. And Lauren, what is the mantra for the heart?
Oh, like the seed mantra?
Mm-hmm.
It's yum.
Okay. And I think you could just repeat that over and over.
Yeah. So it's Y-A-M. It looks like yam, but you pronounce it yum, like yummy. And you say it like om. So just nice long yums. And as you do that, you focus in on the heart and just imagine it expanding. And it's a beautiful thing. We haven't mentioned the seed mantras for the other ones, but that one I particularly like because it's yum.
Amazing. Well, this was a yummy episode, I think. And besties, I hope that you enjoyed these little tips and practices for balancing and aligning with your heart space. We all get in a funk. We all kind of have these moments in time where we just need a little oomph to get out. That's part of our human experience. That's part of being in these meat suits, as people say. So I hope these tips are helpful for you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Rashida. Thanks, besties.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast, and be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.